Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
According to Bettman, that's something they needed to move along with, and he wanted to reinvent the sport and everything else. I have no problem with it ending in a tie. There's too many fans out there that are younger, millenniums or whatever, millennials or whatever you want to call them. They think, you can't have a tie. I don't want to sit out there for 2.5, 3 hours and get a tie. Guess what? I've been watching hockey longer than any of these younger guys, including, my son is younger than me, and he loves it, whether the game's tied or whatever.
Middays on the Score.
Nice how that works out, having a son that's younger than you.
It would be difficult.
I suggest otherwise. That. I suggest that's good planning on your part, because otherwise it makes things all weird, and that is whether or not he is a lennium or a menial.
Lenniums or whatever, millennials or whatever you want to call them.
Lenniums, menials. No matter what he is, just make sure you have a son who's younger than you are.
That's pretty funny. So we've been looking through the Mike Trout contract, obviously. The news broke early on in the show, actually just as we were starting things. 12 years, $430 million. It's going to make him the highest paid athlete in the history of American sports. It's very, very large. So what it's got Cubs fans thinking of, and really it's something that you and I and really all Cubs fans and baseball observers have been talking about this offseason long, is the extensions and contracts have been reached for guys like Trout and Harper and Machado and Nolan Arenado. It's where does Chris Bryant fall in terms of needing an extension, in terms of getting a contract when he becomes a free agent at age 30, in terms of the Cubs locking him up at his whatever value you think he's at for the next handful of years? Does he deserve the next big extension in Major League Baseball, and will he take it? So what I did, it's just real quick, some back-of-the-envelope math type stuff.
All right.
I wanted to see where Bryant ranks in terms of the youngest, brightest stars over the last six seasons.
Okay,
right?
You have Mookie Betts on that list.
Yeah, I wanted to start with Mike Trout in 2012, you know, and just kind of see where everything stacks up. Because if we're going to compare and contrast, let's use as many things as we can. So I took from 2012 to now and took players from their ages 14 to 27 season, you know, this bracket of players that we're looking at, the guys that are getting extensions. And indeed, the most WAR created in that time frame is Mike Trout, and it's not even close. Then you get to Mookie Betts, and it's Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Giancarlo Stanton, Jose Altuve, Christian Yelich, incidentally, at 7, Buster Posey at 8, Nolan Arenado at 9, Freddie Freeman at 10, Chris Bryant at 11. Now remember,
who's hurt?
WAR is a counting stat. Chris Bryant spent most of last season not being Chris Bryant. So that matters, and it matters quite a bit.
If you add, what was he, a 3-win player last year?
Yeah, I don't have the, see, give me 2 seconds
if you,
and I'll find
I was going to say,
it.
if you adjust his numbers and extrapolate based on career performance, where is he on that list if you add 2 wins?
He was a 2.3 WAR player last season.
Conservatively, let's add 2 wins for injury.
He has been a 6.1, 7.8, 6.7. I don't think you'd be crazy if you added three.
Okay.
So let's give him 3 wins above replacement for his career. That takes him from 11th. That takes him all the way up to 5th, 6th, right up there with Jose Altuve. So he's, you know, one of those guys. That's where he really is. Probably. Yep. That's where he probably really is. So you look at the money attached to all these guys, right? Trout's getting 36 a year. Betts in arbitration got 20. Harper's getting 26 a year. Machado at 30. Stanton somewhere between 26 and 32. It's a long-term deal. Altuve's got the Astros-friendly contract. That's Altuve is getting paid $6.5 million this year. Christian Yelich gets 9.75, so those are your moneymakers there. Freeman's at 21, Arenado's at 35, Posey's at 22. Scott Boras, Chris Bryant, and Camp will probably put their stake down right around the Nolan Arenado contract.
It's about right.
I think that's right about where you're looking at. So that is a $35 million commitment. I think that's pretty much set in stone that you're going to have to go over 30.
It doesn't change much. I really don't. I think that the Trout is so far off the graph. he's so far out in his own orbit that I'm not sure this pulls the math on some of these other guys.
It probably doesn't pull the math, no. But in doing the top of the market and having that set contractually, you now, as an organization and as an agent, you know, we're talking a lot about the information available to agents versus the league. These teams have potentially secret sauces that determine what players are worth. And I'm sorry, we have information that you can't access.
But oddly enough, they all spit out the same numbers at the same time.
Here's the thing. You know what their contract is worth. The agents love talking about the high-end contract value. Here's 36 a year for Mike Trout. So teams can kind of base their numbers off that. And from there, the Cubs know pretty clearly what it'll take to keep Chris Bryant in blue pinstripes for the rest of his career. Ostensibly, the rest of his career. I mean, if he plays until he's 40, that changes things some. But if you want to do that, that's 30. That's 30, and that's done.
Bill on Capitol Hill is on the score. What's up, Bill?
Hello, lads. How's the empire?
And a flame.
That's how we like it. You guys are a pair of grim reapers. I mean, you invited the audience to come in and take one of those BuzzFeed wellness quizzes, and they came out with like three kinds of fatal ass cancer. Because they just discovered baseball dying in front of us. I appreciate the conversation on Trout, and I'm now terrified about the future of the game. But to make this parochial again, if you'll forgive me, I hope that this puts pressure on the White Sox to do something about Eloy this year. And I mean, because the fact is, whether they want to admit it or not, there's clearly some sort of structure, you know, ingrained structural impediment to free agency that's depressing Major League Baseball wages. And it may not be an active conspiracy. It may just be the, you know, inevitable results of everybody automating and doing advanced metrics, so they're literally all reading off the same page. But the thing is, like, if you're confident that Eloy is as good as you think he is, your fans have their pitchforks and torches on. You just burned off a whole bunch of goodwill looking like jackasses on Manny Machado. Bring him up now. Give him an extra couple of years. Like, offer him an extension right off the bat, and stop goofing around. Because, you know, like, they were sort of brightly hinting after the Machado farce that, like, you know, well, you know, next year we'll be around. And now you look, and, you know, I wonder if, I mean, Trout may well be a unicorn, but he may also sort of set the model now that these players, in their frustration over, you know, the way that free agency is playing out, like, they have every incentive to, you know, to sign extensions. Anyway, lads, be well, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, Bill.
As always,
I appreciate
Bill.
It. You bring up an interesting point. There's kind of two forces at work here, and we don't know whether it's necessarily true, but if a looming labor issue has forced some of the top-end talents in baseball to take extensions, which admittedly are at the top of the market. Arenado and Trout specifically got extensions that are at the top of the market. If that is forcing extensions to happen, it is taking free agent talent out of future off-seasons. It also, though, may help teams like the White Sox, who are involved in top-tier prospects, or like the Blue Jays, who have top-tier prospects in Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Padres.
The need to, oh, hell yeah, with Fernando Tatis Jr. and Franchi Cordero and all these types of guys, it may force some of these younger guys to consider deals at ages that would have been kind of preposterous in years past. Like, if this labor issue is something tangible, if agents feel and are pushing their clients toward extensions because of what could be happening in the marketplace in 3 years, then you both stand to lose because the free agent pool will dry up. Like, Bryce Harper will just, or rather Mookie Betts will just sign an extension with the Red Sox, and Chris Sale will just sign an extension with the Red Sox, and Yelich will just sign a bigger extension with the Brewers, or what have you. If those players are gone, then you've got to solidify your own. That's really difficult to do, though, because as we're seeing, I mean, if some of these numbers are explained easily enough by inflation, just this is the cost of business. Like, it costs $30 million a year now to play at the top table. Then you have to, as an organization, realize that that's the kind of scratch you've got to put forward for top-end talent.
Yeah, it might just save your money to take a little risk on the front end and double down on your
bet. It almost always does. I mean, whether it's the Tim Anderson contract, whether it's the John Danks contract, whether it's the Jose Abreu contract, like locking those players up for whatever the market rate is, like $12 million for age 29 of Jose Abreu. Like, okay.
And we also learned from the Chris Sale deal that it does allow you to cash in on major trades if you so desire. If things go sideways on you, you're not hamstrung by that deal because of how movable it can be.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we have started March Fatness in the I'm Fat podcast play-in games. We'll be announcing the full field tomorrow. I shouldn't say we. I can't take ownership of that.
No.
Jay and Rick will be announcing that tomorrow. But at the moment, in the ongoing play-in game, wide recliners against hot sauce is 50-50, and the voting is over at the top of the hour. So jump in on Twitter at Bernstein_MCK if you want to.
Or the I'm Fat podcast. I'm Fat Pod is the Twitter handle there.
I want to go back to something we looked at over the summer.
Yeah.
Do you remember when, during the Little League World Series, we looked at the most chosen favorite MLB player of all the participants in the Little League World Series?
I remember that we did it. I don't remember the results or if there was any one player in particular who stood out.
This is different between middle-aged sports radio midday caller. Bernstein and McKnight caller. I don't know about this Mike Trout. I don't know. I'd look at runs scored and RBIs. The most chosen favorite player. And I mentioned anecdotally of the Halloween costumes that came to my front door this Halloween. Number one was Baez, number two was Trout.
Okay.
Same goes for the most chosen favorite player at the most recent Little League World Series, according to MLB.com. Javier Baez, number two was Mike Trout, number three Mookie Betts, number four Jose Altuve, five Aaron Judge, six Bryce Harper. Kids get it. And kids have exposure to Mike Trout through MLB The Show.
Oh, absolutely.
Through everything else that they do.
He's a 99.
Exactly. And if you are more in touch with the game and more in touch with your life through your phone as a portal to the world, I think that is where you are going to experience Mike Trout. So I don't know if baseball needs to work on the 57-year-olds when it does appear that they're getting enough done with the next generations.
It might have to, because the fact is, like, that for the kids at the Little League World Series, they're still spending mom and dad's money at the Little League World Series for a couple of hot dogs or whatever they're eating after the game's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, their income is their parents' income. So for a little while, You do need to push this game in front of those who are making decisions with their wallet. Granted, Major League Baseball is a $10 billion industry. I mean, we just went through 2 months of telling you that any team can afford Manny Machado and can afford Bryce Harper or could afford Nolan Arenado at that price or Trout at this price. Hell, I was looking at the Angels payroll for this coming season. They could fit another Mike Trout-sized contract onto their payroll before they get to the collective bargaining, the luxury tax.
The competitive balance tax.
They could fit another $36 million onto their payroll, one more Mike Trout, not that there is one, onto the payroll before they've got to start paying a luxury tax.
In Olympia Fields, it's Reggie. He's on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Wow, guys. You guys are pretty smart, but sometimes you are arrogant as all giddy up.
All right, why?
Because I don't think you can question a person's being a fan. There are different levels of fans. I may not be able to watch. I mean, 10 o'clock at night, I've got two kids. I coach basketball, baseball. I don't have time to sit up and watch West Coast baseball at night. I might catch one, maybe two Mike Trout games.
Nobody watches it live. I mean, it's you can time shift anything.
I don't have time for any of that, Doc. I really don't.
But you know he's really the best player in the game, right?
I'm with my kids. Now, what you all were just saying, the younger kids get it because they're playing games. They're playing MLB. My son knows exactly who Mike Trout is. He knows exactly who Bryce Harper is. Because when he's playing those games on his tablet, those are the guys that he's playing with. So I've been a fan since I was a kid. And I remember collecting baseball cards where I knew everybody. and their access now is through their tablets and playing those games. That's why you see younger kids who have a better idea of some of these players.
But Reggie, you can sign up for an email from MLB where every morning, if Mike Trout does something cool or whatever his at bats are, there's just a click on video that's right in your email inbox as soon as you open up your computer.
You a hint? I have 5,000 emails right now that I haven't read. I love the game, but I ain't got time for Mike Trout every day.
So even though your kids love Trout, you're not interested in, like, checking out a highlight or seeing just how good
Yes. I'll go to MLB Network and see what's going on that day and listen to the guys. But for me to be able to check him out on a regular basis or see him in a live game on a regular basis just doesn't happen. So.
Yeah, but Reggie, we're not even talking about a regular basis. I mean, it seems like people aren't checking in for the 3 games a year that he visits the South Side or is on schedule to check out the North Side ballpark. Like, it's just three games
Chicago
a year isn't a regular basis even.
Chicago is one of the most segregated cities in the world, and that's baseball too. If you're a Cubs fan, unless you really love the game, but you're not watching the Sox. And if you're a Sox fan...
No. That's what I'm saying. Reggie, Trout's making visits to both ballparks this year. You know what I'm saying?
You're saying the Trout supersedes the Cubs-Sox rivalry.
I'm saying that, yeah. No, in fact, Reggie, that's kind of my point. Is like, I think Trout is
good enough
to override any sort of I don't have time for the league thing. Like, I get that you're a busy guy and you got kids and 5,000 unread emails a day.
They're all from Mitch.
I don't know why Mitch is on your listserv. Like, that sucks. That sucks for you, man. Just delete most of them.
I had no idea Reggie worked here.
But I mean, this is what it's about. Like, if Reggie doesn't have time to find a Mike Trout, Major League Baseball needs to put Mike Trout in front of Reggie. That's how the league is supposed to work. You can't just be satisfied with the handful of viewers that you have, even in a $10 billion industry where your cable fees are through the roof and you've got access, all those kind of stuff. You have to put your product in front of fans. That's not happening with Mike Trout. He's the best in the game. There's a disconnect.
The texters have been great today. 630 says, maybe this guy should check his emails instead of calling a sports radio show. This is 847. He has no time to watch a Mike Trout highlight, but he has time to call the score.
And if you think, I get it. If you want to call us arrogant, if you want to call me arrogant for saying that a baseball fan.
How dare you like Mike Trout?
Like it's understandable for a baseball fan to know who the best player in the game is and have seen him for a little. Like, it's a ludicrous thing. Do you think that there were, I mean, even if you were a Pistons fan in the 90s, you saw Michael, but you weren't oblivious to the best player in the game. It's shocking to me. It really is. It's shocking to me.
It's like
the amount of ignorance that surrounds Mike Trout from baseball fans that aren't Angels fans.
Yeah, pick a non-New York City. Say it's 1930 and you live in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Babe Ruth is.
I would guess.
Right?
Yeah, I would guess.
That's kind of what we're talking about here.
Although Houston in the 30s without air conditioning sounds like a sentence.
This segment brought to you by Lakeside Bank. How about free checking that pays a great interest rate? Just say the funny word, kasasa. Kasasa. It means free checking plus an amazing interest rate. Kasasa at Lakeside Bank. Free checking, great interest. Join Lakeside Bank. It's about time. Have we given away our Cubs thingy yet? We're still waiting on that. I haven't heard the soundbite yet.
No, if we've listened, I haven't heard it.
It's
you've got opportunity.
It's Pat Hughes. And when you hear the cue to call, be caller 6 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, and you will qualify for that opportunity to win Cubs season tickets. That's a thing. You will only get that thing if you're listening to The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Fire steals home!
Oh, hey-o. I hear what I think I just heard. I think I did. My goodness. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Only 5 regular season home games remain for the first place Chicago Wolves at Allstate Arena. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking courtesy of Kia, as well as discounted concessions. For ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Our buddy Anthony Herron, sports media luminary and football friend, has tweeted us and the show.
I am.
asking, does Javier Baez have a higher Q rating than Mike Trout? It feels like we didn't go a week last season without the nation marveling at a wow, Javi kind of moment, but it doesn't seem to break through as frequently with Trout for whatever reason. Javi's got a different kind of wow to him, a different kind of telegenic style. Trout doesn't play with the same kind of flair. He's great. Joe Sheehan just tweeted he's the greatest baseball player ever, by the way. That's a very simple statement, full stop.
He is the greatest baseball player ever. I mean, he's got a leg to stand on.
Sheehan just said it flat out. He's the greatest baseball player ever. But very few people play the way as telegenically as Javier Baez. That is unique.
Well, there's something to be said for being an outfielder versus an infielder in that regard, right? I mean, if you think of a singular defensive play, right? A singular defensive opportunity, let's say, for Trout versus Baez. You get a ball hit to Mike Trout. He goes, he lays out, he makes the catch. That's the catch.
Or he doesn't have to lay out because he's taken a 100% efficient route to the ball.
That's the second spot.
The other problem is that Trout's so good that unless you said, a caller who said he went to a game and watched how he backed up every play and watched how effortlessly he moves, watches how he moves 235 pounds around at that rate of speed with that kind of agility. Somebody mentioned almost coming to tears watching him turn the corner and raced a third on a triple.
So if there are two things Trout does, if the bottom two skill sets of Mike Trout is one, his arm doesn't have a great throwing arm. It's fine, but it's not great.
Center fielder. Yeah.
He doesn't have a cannon. He's not Ichiro. He just doesn't have that arm. That's fine though. And he's gotten better defensively throughout his career, playing center field, moving away from the corner too. But it's not been heroic center field. I mean, it's not like this.
Not Kevin Kiermaier.
It's not Kiermaier. It's not Griffey in his prime. Still incredibly solid. I mean, he's a positive. You look on Fangraphs, he's like a 20 defensive WAR player. But another difference between, you know, the Q rating that Heron's talking about here for Baez's defensive plays and for Trout's is Baez has the catch and the throw. Trout
Correct.
Has just the catch. There are like, you know what I'm saying? There are two defensive moments for every one opportunity Baez gets. There is one for every opportunity that Trout gets. There's the play that Baez will make, then the throw he'll make. That's all encapsulated into one play.
He also,
but it feels like so much more.
He also plays a higher risk brand of baseball that invites the spectacular while it's also going to create some lowlights in there. Baez is going to do some things. You go, oh, wait, what are you doing? He's going to have some moments that don't work because he plays. It's a high wire act where Trout is not. Trout's risk calculus and what he does on the field is not the same as Baez's, where Baez, his game will lend itself to more highlights because he tries more things.
I'd almost prefer it that way, too. Remember, we went through this as Harper was in his 50 home run season, right? That big time push that he put together. We were all of us in baseball wondering why he's played so hard. He's going into the wall. He's sacrificing. I mean, look at how hard he collides with everything that he can find, whether it's a foul pole or a wall or a fan or a beer, like at everything, right? And it was, he can't keep playing like this. I tell you what, you know, I appreciate the effort and everything, but I need him healthy to be an MVP. I'd rather have Trout just fine and healthy because the offense is that much better.
John in Orland Park is on the score. Hello, John.
Hey, Dan. I'm probably one of those older white guys that gets a little frustrated with the sabermetrics and everything.
Why?
Because Mike Trout, the greatest ever, that makes me angry. I'm sorry.
Why?
I mean, okay, I compared him with Rose, and I know Rose is a Hall of Famer, but you look at their first 8 or 7 years, whatever, I mean, I don't get it. Pete Rose averaged over 600 at-bats. Every season. Okay. Yet he still had a on-base percentage of over 350 every year. And he didn't strike out that much. How does Mike Trout have such an extremely high on-base? He gets like over 400.
416, yeah.
Yeah. But then I look at it, and he has all these walks compared to Rose. He has a lot more walks. Plus,
this is not going to end well for you, John.
I know. But also, Pete Rose has in the first 7 years, he had over 1,000 more at-bats. And he struck out.
But look at run creation.
Okay, that's what I don't get. That's what I'm not. That's what's confusing. And I think it also, all of this analytical
Wait,
stuff
what,
is great.
What, what's,
okay, go ahead.
I'm just curious. Right. What's confused? Don't put up walls here.
I looked up war, and I'm still lost. I'm completely lost.
Well, let's do it this way. Over the years you're talking about, 63 to 71 for Pete Rose.
Correct.
He slugged .438.
Okay, there we go. Home runs. Which is
No.
Just
home runs. No, it's slugging. It's total bases.
Slugging, okay, whatever. What is that?
What is slugging again?
I'm sorry, I don't mean that.
Slugging percentage, it's a measure of your power. It's a metal measure of total bases.
Okay,
it's not overrated.
Totally.
No.
Okay, no, sorry,
John,
I keep interrupting. Sorry about that.
John, would you agree that being on second base is better than being on first?
Okay.
Now I ask you, yes or no?
Yes.
is being on third base better than being on second?
Okay, but you're looking at...
Hold on, yes or no?
Correct, yes.
Okay, is going all the way around the bases, all the bases, better than just getting to first?
Yes.
Okay, then. If you understand that, you can...
Can I chime in here?
Yeah, of course.
Is it true, though, that this guy is getting on base a lot he walks a lot, and he strikes out a lot. To me, as a great ball player, you got to look at a player like Rose, even though he's not a power hitter.
But power matters.
Power matters so much.
Power matters more.
John, have you ever read? Okay. Let's do it old school then.
I can't believe we're
doing
this.
I know power matters, but.
But you keep saying you know,
you can't measure power because of. I don't want to. Nowadays. Suck compared
no,
to
no, that's not
my
true.
God, no, that's is that
okay,
wrong?
They strike out
true.
A lot of players, but they also walk a lot of players.
Walking has become astronomical. That's wrong. That's flat wrong.
Okay. It has.
Walk rate has increased, but that's a function of throwing 95 and 96
yes,
miles an hour.
It's a power game now, the pitching. And back then, it was small ball. I mean, they didn't have power. Pete Rose, if he played today, I say he could hit 30 to 40 a year easily.
Home runs?
That's just an opinion. Sorry,
his single season high in home runs was 16. Do you know what Ted Williams? Said about Pete Rose? Ted Williams hated how many singles Pete Rose hit. If you want to do it old school, we'll just do it old school. Ted Williams thought Pete Rose was a joke because of how many singles he hit. If you got Ted Williams coming down on one of the greatest players of all time, I think even from an old school perspective, you can go, maybe you got to look at it a little differently.
Okay, yet he every year over 600 at bats. Rose, every year, he's in every single game he's playing.
John, you keep saying, "Yeah, I get it," and you don't get it. You keep saying you do.
I think part of the reason why the game has lost its love is the fact that we do not admire players like Rose.
No, we
only the home run hitters, the hard-ass grunt guys that fucking come, excuse me.
That's a really big Pete Rose fan.
I mean, he's an idiot, but who'd have thunk the way Dan presents arguments sometimes would be grating on people and would make them not want to learn what he's saying.
I tried to keep it as simple as I possibly could.
Right, but you
could.
But you always interrupt.
Simple.
If I was someone that wasn't inclined to learn all the numbers anyway, and I heard you present the argument,
you don't have to say, if he says, I get all this, then get it. That's all I ask. Don't say you get it and really mean you're trying not to get it.
Singles hitters are fun to watch, I guess, but you can understand that a team of, like, just do it from that perspective. If you had a team of singles hitters versus a team of doubles hitters, which team do you expect would score more runs? A team of triples hitters versus a team of doubles hitters? You know, if you like,
they're closer to scoring.
If everybody hits a triple, how many runs will you score? If everyone hits a single, how many runs will you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to do this through algorithms. It doesn't take that to understand it.
That's not advanced metrics. It's being closer to scoring.
It's Branch Rickey stuff.
It's not analytics. It's not math. It's literally,
we can do those if you want.
You go around the bases in a direction, and you want to be closer to the base that awards you a run.
That would be a way to really restrict Mike Trout's value. If you reversed the direction you had to run the bases, because now you're taking that, you're telling him to run a completely different direction.
Boy,
he's got to slow down.
I'm going to need a left fielder with a much better arm.
I'm just
too.
Saying. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the way to slow. Or maybe if you put a hurdle like right before second base just for Mike Trout and nobody else, then that would really slow him down to the rest. He's been worth more than Machado and Harper combined the last 6 years.
And here's the thing, too. It's sort of a false argument. Everybody knows Pete Rose was good.
But everybody knows Pete Rose did a bunch of singles.
Right. Even Pete Rose knows that.
Ted Williams damn sure knew it.
Ted Williams didn't have a whole lot of respect for slappy guys.
No, he didn't. Not where I expected we'd be.
Okay.
Not where I expected we'd be.
All good. Got some special guests joining us. It's just coming up on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It is that time again. It is already the point in March where we are getting excited for the Bank of America Shamrock Shuffle. And here they are, Executive Race Director from Bank of America, Kerry Pinkowski, is with us, and Chicago Managing Partner of Deloitte, Carl Algretti, is here. Welcome. I can't believe it's already... These are marking points in my year, and they come up all too quickly.
It is, and we're celebrating a special year this year, the 40th anniversary of the Shamrock Shuffle. Great tradition. We'll have thousands of runners lining up. A lot of those, we have 40 charities that are participating, but without the support of Deloitte and Carl Allegretti, it wouldn't be possible. But we need a little warm weather, which looks like it's coming, and then we're keeping our fingers crossed. What a tough winter for us that we're training and raising money for charity, but we're ready to go.
Yeah, it's been really difficult to run through this winter. I imagine the Shamrock Shuffle brings them in from any angle, regardless of what the training's been like. I'm sure you guys are full up, but it'd be nice to have a little warmer weather to run in here.
It would, and it looks like we're going to get that. It was going to warm up, although I saw a little bit of we'll keep our fingers crossed. I'm not going to be superstitious. I'm going to hold off on that.
I've run this race every year since 1986, and I've seen all kinds of weather. All kinds.
It's part of the tradition.
And Carl, you've been recognized as a record fundraiser for Bank of America. There's a $10,000 contribution to what Kerry is doing individually in his efforts to raise $40,000 for American Cancer Society. Why has this been important to you over the years, running it and supporting it corporately?
Well, it's easy. We have 5,000 people in the Chicago office, and our people like to give back. So I like to lead by example, and I've run 69 marathons. The last six I ran for charity, starting with Lurie Children's Hospital, which, wow. You know the story, Dan. It's the hospital that saved my son's life, a 12-year cancer survivor. And interesting, he ran his first marathon last fall, Kerry's marathon, the Chicago Marathon, and I finished the last 8 miles with him. That was a great
day. That's awesome.
There you go. Great story. And Dan, you know, with Team One Step, it's a big part of what we're doing. The Shamrock is an opportunity for our teams to kick off, to recruit some runners. As I mentioned earlier, we have 40 charities that are involved. I'm running again this year for Special Olympics. I have four charities, and they're all youth-related. Shirley Ryan Rehab Lab, After School Matters, and the Mercy Home, and Special Olympics. So it's been amazing, the generosity from the community, my friends, corporate side from Carl and Bank of America, Jim Jeunesse, who's a good friend of mine also in a big way. So it gets you going, but it also, I mean, it's really rewarding for me personally in the event. And we'll set the tone. It's a rite of spring, and it kicks off the running season.
And you're getting close to 50K.
I am. I'm doing pretty good. I was just trying to hit Glenn Harris a little bit. Just cornered him. We're just below $47,000 with a few days to go. So
ShamrockShuffle.com is where to get all the information. We have found, at least with Team One Step, for people who are saying, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to run a marathon. It's a great introduction to the process, to some of the running community, and really the Bank of America community. The way this goes, it's a great way to sort of understand on a little smaller scale, a little smaller level. It's not quite biting off the same kind of challenge. So if anybody's kind of been on the fence about the marathon and finding out what it's all about, doing it's a great way to get started.
Absolutely. It's an 8K run. We also have a 2-mile fitness walk, and you can still register, shamrockshuffle.com, or you can come out and be part of it. We have a great party afterwards. So it's a great tradition and a great part of the Chicagoland community.
What do you find the return rate is then on athletes? Because I've been kind of on the fence about the whole long-distance marathon thing for a little while, ran in high school. If you dabbled into the Shamrock Shuffle, take one, maybe two of those before you'd really get into a marathon? Like, what's the return rate? What's the middle of the Venn diagram here?
Well, I think part of the success we see is that there's so much more information out there. I mean, if anyone that is familiar with in the lakefront or out in the western suburbs, you see these teams of runners that are going up and down Lakeshore Drive or out in the western suburbs. I mean, there's so much more information. It used to be the loneliness of the long-distance runner, but there's so many organizations. There's so much good information out there with staying healthy and the running and how to run smart and get to the start line. So that's a big part of it.
Well, let's talk about what really matters here, and that is the NFL dream of one Nick Allegretti here, the former Illini center, who at 6'4 and 320 has played his way into some kind of prospect status here, proud dad. What are you hearing? What are we expecting? I know that our own friend Olin Krutz was doing some one-on-one center training with Nick, and the stuff I look at just online is all over the map as far as where he might go in the draft.
Yeah, Dan, we've heard everything, and I just wish the best for my son. He's worked hard, and hopefully he lives out his dream. And we could take that back to running. How many NFL prospects finished the last couple miles with his brother running a marathon? Not only did I jump in, but after playing out east at Rutgers, Nicky drove home from Champaign and jumped in at mile 22 to run with his dad and his brother.
That's incredible.
At 320 pounds. But we're now down to 310.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. There you go.
So it's got to be fun for him and Olin, who knows more about playing that center position. I imagine you just spend all day in the classroom, let alone on the field with him.
You know, Nicky can't say enough about Olin. Olin didn't have to do this, but he went up there for twice a week and learned from one of the best. December 26th, the day after Christmas, Olin said, I'm ready when you are. And they came up and they worked outside. Remember, it was 50 degrees and gave him a lot of time.
So really, the next step then is the Allegretti's getting Olin to run a marathon.
Have you seen him lately?
That's where
he
got ahead.
He looks like he could.
That guy's dropped some weight. He looks fit.
You can place that call.
Thank you. No.
We will not be doing that.
We have an
that.
Entry for him if he's listening.
The Shamrock Shuffle. All the information is available at shamrockshuffle.com. Our guests have been Carl Allegretti of Deloitte and the Bank of America Executive Race Director, Kerry Pinkowski. Always fun, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us on, Dan. Thanks, Connor. Always.
Thank you.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Only 5 regular season home games remain for the first place Chicago Wolves at Allstate Arena. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking courtesy of Kia and discounted concessions. For ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We'll do transition with the afternoon show next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.